We're not going to be in Ezra tonight. I have a New Year's thought for you tonight. I want you to take your Bibles and open them up to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 7 through 12 tonight. You know, I've always taught and preached that there's no time in heaven. That there's no day or no night, and so if there's no day and no night, there's no time. And one of our men called me this week and said, "Pastor, I thought you always said there was no time in heaven." I said, "Well, that's what I believe. I don't believe there's any time in heaven." He said, "Well, what about that verse in Revelation that says it was silent in heaven for a half an hour?" And he had me for a minute, and I said, "Well, That was John's reckoning the time as he saw it silent. He was still on earthly time as he had that vision of heaven. But I want to talk to you about the new year and a promise from God that's precious. So stand with me again, if you would, as we honor the word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 11, beginning in verse 7, reading down through verse 12. Here's what the Bible says. "But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Therefore shall you keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land whether you go to possess it, and that ye may prolong your days in the land, which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them, and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. For the land whether thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whether ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, which the Lord thy God careth for the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even until the end of the year." All right, thank you. You may be seated. So this is Moses talking to his people, and he says, "Hey, you're going to a land. It's different than the land you came out of. In Egypt, you had to, basically what he was saying, you had to irrigate it. You had to take care of it. You had to carry water to water the plants. In this place you're going, the rain from heaven is going to take care of that." And God has his eyes on that land from the beginning of the year till the end of it. Now, they were going into that land. They weren't there yet. They still had a little bit of wandering to go. They still had, you know, to cross the Jordan River. They still had to fight some battles. But the fact that they were going in to live in that land, and the fact that God had his eyes on the land from the beginning to the end, means that he was going to have his eyes on them from the beginning of the year till the end of the year. Now, that's the thought I want to share with you tonight. As we go into 2020, we have a God that's going to keep his eyes on us from the beginning of the year. This is the beginning of the year, first day of the year, till the end of the year. New Year's is a special time. We look back to see what God has done, and are grateful for him for everything he's done in the past year. We also look forward. We make plans. We set goals. We make vows or resolutions how things will be different. I believe Moses had the people together here. The Bible doesn't say, but I think it was at the beginning of a year. I think he was giving his sort of his farewell address. He had been disobedient to God. One time when they needed water, God said, "Don't strike the rock like you've done in the past, but speak to it, and I'll give you water from that rock." And Moses was so upset with the people that he disobeyed God and struck the rock. Now, water came, but God was very displeased with them. So displeased, they said, "Moses, because you've disobeyed me, you can't go into the promised land. Of course, we know Joshua was going to lead the people into the promised land." And some people might think, "Boy, God was really hard on him. You know, what's the difference between speaking to the rock and striking the rock?" And I've mentioned this before, but everything that God did was a picture pointing to Christ. And Christ was only going to be crucified once. He was going to be struck once. And when Moses struck the rock the second time, he messed up the picture that God was painting. And so he said, you can't go into the promised land. And so here he is. He's standing before his people. This is going to be one of the last times that he gets to speak to them. And he's trying to encourage them. And these people were special to him. I mean, you know the story. He's the one that God sent to lead them out of Egypt. He's the one that led them every day. I mean, he's the one that was responsible for their care. When they had a petition, he's the one that brought it to God. And when God had a word for them, except when God spoke himself from the top of Mount Sinai and spoke the Ten Commandments, every other time God spoke through Moses. He was responsible for solving the everyday problems that came up. At the beginning, he tried to do it all himself and got wore out. And his father-in-law actually told him, hey, you need to get some help. And he had pointed some people to help him. But he was involved in their life in a detailed sort of way. After he gets done speaking to them, God's going to take them up into the mountain. He's going to let them see into the land. Now, I think he let them not only see into the land and see the land itself, but to see the future of Israel, what was going to happen in that land. And then after God lets them see that, he's going to take them to heaven. He's going to die. He's going to be buried. The Bible says nobody knows where Moses was buried, but he's going to go to heaven. And so he's been with these people over 40 years. He looks ahead to what the year is going to bring. He knows it's going to be an eventful year. I mean, they're still wandering in the wilderness. They're still paying the price of their sin, not going into the land of Canaan when they came there. And God said, go in and possess it. And you remember they sent spies, and the spies came back and said, well, there's no way we can take it because the cities are strong. They have walls around them, and the people are giants, and we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And so 10 of the 12 spies came back and gave that report, and the people decided, well, we can't do it. And Joshua and Caleb stood up and reminded the people and said, if God wants us to have it, then nobody can stop us. If God is going to be with us, God can give us the victory. But the people decided that they weren't going to go in, and God said, okay, you don't have faith in me, you don't believe in me. Even after you've seen all the mighty works that I've done, and Moses reminded them in that first verse that we read, but your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. And so God punished them. He said, you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, a year for every day the spies sent in the land, and everybody over 20 years old is going to die. And so Moses knew they had some time to complete that wandering, to complete the payment for their sin. More people had to die. They were still going to wander. They weren't going to have a home, no place to put down roots, no place to build homes, no place to plant farms. He knew at some point in the following year, they were going to cross the Jordan River, and they were going to see the power of God again, just like they did when they came out of Egypt and came to the Red Sea. And God dried up a path through the Red Sea. Moses could look ahead and know that they were going to see the power of God again. God was going to do something that nobody could say somebody else did it. It had to be God. And he knew they were going to see that. He also knew that as they went into the land, God wasn't just going to give it to them. They were going to have to fight some battles. They were going to have to fight different places. Of course, we know from the rest of the Old Testament that they would go into Jericho and they would win a great victory without losing a single person. And then they would go up against a much smaller city, the city of Ai, where they got a little proud after Jericho. They didn't take the whole army, and they ended up losing 36 men running from the people that lived in Ai, thinking that God had already abandoned them. And again, Joshua went to God and said, no, there's sin in the camp. You got to get rid of the sin. And you remember Achan had stolen some stuff from Jericho. And so Moses is standing before his people, this people that he loved, that he had been so involved with the past 40 years. He's looking into the future. He's knowing what the future is going to bring. He knows this is the last time he's going to be able to stand before the people and encourage them. And he says, don't forget this. The Lord is going to be with you from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. I know you're still in the wilderness. I know you're still going to suffer the hardship of wandering in the wilderness. But don't forget, the eyes of the Lord is upon the land, and they're upon you, and they're upon you from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. I know you're going to cross the Jordan River, and you're going to have some times this coming year where God's going to work in a mighty way on your behalf. But don't forget, the eyes of the Lord are upon you from the beginning of the year till the end of the year. He says, I know you're going to fight some battles. You're going to have to go to war to win the land that I give you. And you're going to have some victories, and you're going to have some defeats. But in all of it, remember that the eyes of the Lord are upon you from the beginning of the year till the end of the year. You'll know what it is to be defeated, but you'll also know what it is to win a great victory. You'll know what it is to scrape the bottom of the barrel, so to speak, when you think God's abandoned you. But you'll also know the overflowing of his blessing at other times. You'll go down to the valley at times, but you'll live on the mountaintop at times too. And regardless of what you're going through, regardless of the circumstances that you're going to face this next year, remember this one thing. The eyes of the Lord are upon you from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. We sing that little song. We sing it in the open assembly in Sunday school. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. We sing a little chorus about the hands. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. And it's a simple song. It's a children's song, but it reminds us of a wonderful truth. We are never outside of the sight of God. He sees everything we do. He hears everything we say. He knows everywhere we go. Why? Because he never takes his eyes off of us. From the beginning of the year till the end of the year. Now, again, the key word in that verse is the word always. His eyes are always upon us. You know, sometimes when you have little kids, they're in another room. You go in and you check on them periodically. Periodically. Sometimes when you hear the volume get louder coming from the other room, you'll go in and check on them. Sometimes when you hear things crashing to the floor, you'll go in and check on them. Other times you'll just wait a little while and say, oh, it's kind of quiet in there. I better go see what they're up to. And as parents, we periodically check on our children. They get older, we do the same thing. We periodically check on them. We'll call them on the phone. I was talking to somebody today, and they said, I hesitate to call my children or my grandchildren because they'll think I'm just worried about them. And I wanted to say, well, what's wrong with that? You're their mom. You're their dad. You gave birth to them. You have the right to check on them. Who cares what they think? That's the way I feel. You can ask Adam about that. Same thing with your grandkids. I mean, if it wasn't for you, they wouldn't be here. You have the right as their grandparent to check on them every now and then. Again, I don't think you should smother them with your checking on them, but I don't think there's anything wrong with periodically checking on them. But God doesn't operate that way. He doesn't leave us and then come back and periodically check on us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. His eyes are always upon us. And so, I will say the same thing to you tonight as we look forward to 2020. And again, I don't have the vision that God gave Moses. I'm not going to stand up here and say, "Hey, I can look into 2020 and I can see what, you know, people in our church are going to go through." But based on my past experience, I can make some predictions about what our folks in our church are going to go through. Some of you this year are going to go through a wilderness time. You're going to have sickness, and you're going to face operations. You're going to probably have some funerals in your family. You may have some problems with your children. You may have hurt feelings at different times. And God's going to bring trials or allow trials and heartaches to come into your life in 2020. Now, again, I can't look forward and say, hey, this is specifically going to happen to this family, or this is, I don't have that kind of vision. But based on my experience as a pastor and a church this large, there's going to be people that will have those different circumstances come into their life in 2020. And so I'll remind you tonight, on the first day of the year, to remember, the Lord never takes his eyes off of us. His eyes are always on us. There's going to be some people in our church this year that have Jordan River experiences. God, like Bud, you had one this year, where God is going to do something so wonderful and so amazing and so unexplainable that the only person that we can give the credit to is not a doctor, not a man, not somebody else, but we're going to have times in our life when we're going to look to heaven and say, this could only be God. This could only be God. And again, in those Jordan River moments, when God does something that's unexpected, when God does something that the world can't explain, remember, the eyes of the Lord are always upon you from the beginning of the year till the end of the year. Others will have battles this year. You'll have battles in your life. And again, it may be a health issue that you will be battling. It may be a relationship issue that you'll be battling. It may be a financial issue that you'll be battling. Sometimes you'll win a great victory. Sometimes you'll suffer a setback. But again, regardless, remember, as we start the year, the eyes of the Lord are always upon us from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. And again, if I could just put one truth in your hearts and your mind and say, hang on to this, hang on to this truth for all of 2020, it would be this truth. We have a God who never slumbers or sleeps. We have a God who never blinks. Think about it. We have a God who never blinks. His eyes are always open. His eyes are always upon us. They will be from the beginning of the year, starting today until the end of the year. He will never take his eyes off of us. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story. I've told you this story probably 20 times before, but I think it's a good reminder of this truth. The funeral was over. The man had buried his beloved wife, the mother of their only son, a little four-year-old boy. The little boy didn't quite understand everything that was going on, but he knew that his mama had gone to be with Jesus, and he would never see her again. All the company had gone, grandma and grandpa, aunts and uncles, cousins. They had come to be with this man and his son for a few days, even a week, but they had gone home. And so Dad had tucked them in his bed, which was across the hall from Dad's room. And so as he got into the bed himself, the dad heard a little whimper that came from the child's room. He said, "Son, what's the matter?" He said, "Daddy, could I come and sleep with you?" And of course, Daddy said, "Yes, come on. Come get in the bed with me." So he kind of got into bed with his dad. And they were laying there, and his dad heard another little whimper. He said, "Son, what's the matter?" And the son said, "Daddy, have you got your eyes toward me? Have you got your eyes toward me?" And Daddy said, "Yes, I do, son. I got my eyes on you." We never have to question whether God has his eyes on us. He has his eyes on us from the beginning of the year till the end of the year. Regardless of what 2020 brings, whether it brings victory or defeat, whether it brings mountains or valleys, whether it brings sickness or health, remember, our Father's face is always turned toward us. Our Father's eyes are always open. We're always in his sight. We're always in his care. He always is watching out for us from the beginning of the year till the end of the year. All right, that's the New Year's thought I wanted to share with you tonight. I'm done 10 minutes early. I don't want you to tell anybody that's not here that happened. Promise? Cross your heart. All right, let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer.